I really must take some of the bits of paper out of this Bible, I suppose. Every time I stand up here, I empty most of it onto the floor. We come, in a sense, to the penultimate. You know what that means, don't you? I don't, but you know what that means. We come to the penultimate talk in the series that we've been doing, covering Invited by Jesus. And this week we're talking about keeping me, that is Jesus, not me, you understand, keeping me in sight. I have an apology to start with. My first apology is that, in fact, I'm going to use the name in a little story just to start with, which is the same as somebody here. But all characters are fictional, as you know. There is no likeness whatsoever to anybody sat here in the congregation this morning. No intention on my part whatsoever. It just happens to fit nicely with the story. Arthur was 90 years old. Sorry, Arthur. He'd played golf every day since he'd retired 25 years earlier. You can do the maths yourself. He loved his game. It was good. He enjoyed it. But one day he came home and he was looking a little bit downcast, a little bit sad, a bit unsure of himself. "That's it," he said to his wife. "I'm giving up golf. My eyesight has become so bad that once I hit the ball, I can't see where it's gone." His wife, as always, sympathises with him and says, "I'll make you a cup of tea." So they sit down together and she says, "Why don't you take my brother with you and give it just one more try?" "That's no good," sighs Arthur. "Your brother's 103. He can't help." "He may be 103, says the wife, "but his eyesight is perfect." So the next day, Arthur heads out to the golf course with his brother-in-law. He tees up, he takes a swing, and stood there squinting down the fairway, trying to make out where his ball had gone. He turns to the brother-in-law and he says, "Did you see the ball?" "Of course I did," said the brother-in-law. "I've got perfect eyesight." "Well, where did it go?" said Arthur. And brother-in-law replies, "I don't remember." Sometimes you see, perfect eyesight is not enough. We may not be able to see something just because of other things stopping us. I'll put a couple of pictures up on the screen. There's the first one. There is something there, I can assure you. These are genuine pictures. I know, I took them myself. I'm not that bad a photographer. It just happened to have been clipped. You're just seeing a little bit, if you like, of a couple of pictures. All will be revealed. Well, half will be revealed later on. Seeing those particular pictures, it's a bit of early morning fog. Got in the way. Can't quite see what's actually there. The one on the left, believe it or not, is a tall skyscraper. Just the top of it. You'll see the full picture of the one on the left, on the right-hand side, I mean, in a minute. Your right, that is. Let's read some verses together, shall we? Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Well-known story. Behold, that very day, we're talking here about resurrection morning, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had occurred. While they were conversing and discussing together, Jesus himself caught up with them and started to walk with them. But their eyes were blind so that they did not recognize him. He said to them, "What's this discussion that you're having as you walk along?" And they stood still, looked sad and downcast. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Do you alone dwell as a stranger in Jerusalem and not know the things that have occurred there in these days?" Jesus said to them, "What kind of things?" They said to him about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in word and work before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers gave him up to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who would redeem and set Israel free. Yes, and beside all of this, it is now the third day since these things occurred. And some of the women of our company astounded us and drove us out of our senses. They were at the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. And they returned saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and they found it just as the woman had said, and they could not find him. Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, how slow in your minds and in your thinking and in your hearts. You need to believe everything that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ, the Messiah, should suffer all these things before entering into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he went on explaining and interpreting to them all of the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village in which they were going, and he acted as if he was going to go on further. But they urged and insisted, saying to him, "Remain with us. It's coming towards evening and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And while they were seated at the table, he took a loaf of bread and praised God and gave thanks and asked a blessing. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were instantly opened and they clearly recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said one to another, "Was not our heart greatly moved and burning within us while he talked with us on the road, as he opened and explained to us the scriptures?" And rising that very hour, they went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 apostles gathered together and those who were with them, and said, "The Lord really has risen and has appeared to Simon Peter." Then the two disciples themselves related in full what had happened on the road and how he was known and recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Father, we just ask this morning that you would actually help us open our eyes. Help us, Lord, we pray, to actually come, as it were, and see that bread broken in front of us and recognize Jesus for your sake. Amen. Verse 16 of that passage that we just read said quite clearly that their eyes were held. They were prevented from recognizing Jesus. So, sight was lost. It's funny, you know, sometimes Jesus sometimes isn't where we expect to find him. I don't know whether or not you've found that. They'd gone to the tomb early that morning. They expected to find Jesus in that tomb. Why else would they have gone? There are a number of passages of scripture that Jesus would have actually talked through with them, there are a number of passages of scripture that they themselves would have known. They, the disciples, would have known. Psalm 16, Isaiah 53, Hosea, Matthew 16 even. Things where Jesus has actually said, and let's just repeat these words from Matthew 17. Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. But on the third day, he will be raised to life. And that verse goes on to say, and the disciples were filled with grief. They knew. They'd heard. They couldn't see. I wonder whether at times we actually come and Jesus is not where we expect to find him. Perhaps it's in church. Perhaps we only think that Jesus is around on a Sunday. Perhaps the opposite is true. Perhaps Jesus is actually where we don't expect to find him. It was the case for the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They didn't expect Jesus to actually come up and approach them and get close to them and to talk to them. They thought it was a stranger. Didn't understand. Didn't see him. So I wonder, in fact, whether or not Jesus is actually really in some of the places where we don't expect to find him. Perhaps that's at school, at work, at home, around the shops, in the town. Would we recognise Jesus if we saw him, if he came and walked alongside us? Perhaps more importantly, we are not where Jesus is. It's not that Jesus has left us, walked away, gone somewhere else. It's simply that we've left him. We've gone off looking or going or thinking or feeling in the wrong direction or in a different direction. Perhaps not wrong, just different. It may, of course, be a deliberate action on our part. We once followed Jesus, but now we're not so close. He's just a distant figure, difficult to recognise, somebody a long way off, a bit like fog in the early morning. Perhaps we lost sight of Jesus quite simply because it just happened. See, for the disciples on that road to Emmaus, it may have been their grief over the things that have happened in Jerusalem. It may have been the fact that they were looking for the Messiah. Luke uses, very deliberately, I believe, the past tense to talk about the fact that they had hoped he was going to be the Messiah. He obviously now can't be. He's dead. He's gone. Whatever it was, it stopped them from recognising Jesus. Luke 24, verses 21 and 22 say this. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What is more, on the third day since all this took place, they knew from Jesus' discussions with them back in Galilee that actually he was going to be raised on the third day. He told them many, many times. Frederick Buechner, who is an American writer, poet, I think has a number of literary awards, as well as actually being a pastor of a church, talks about Emmaus being what we do, or the place where we go to make ourselves forget recent things. Perhaps that's what the disciples were doing. They had forgotten all that Jesus had said. They'd seen the crucifixion. They'd heard the rumours about the empty tomb. Now they were going home, disappointed, grief-stricken. The place where we get to, Emmaus, this is the place where we get to in our comfort zone. But unfortunately, it's also the place where we're likely to lose sight of Jesus because we can become concerned solely with me. Losing sight of Jesus can just happen. We don't intend it to. But for some reason, Jesus is not where we expect him to be. And I guess the question for each of us this morning is quite simply, if we can't see Jesus, are we still looking in the tomb this morning? Are we even perhaps, dare I suggest it, a second day Christian? We haven't got to that third day yet. Verse 31 in the story that we read together talks about their eyes being instantly opened, sight being regained. It's interesting, isn't it, that the words that Jesus spoke to those disciples as they walked on the road to Emmaus didn't restore their sight. The teaching session, everything that was in the Old Testament that talked about Jesus, Jesus covered, did not restore their sight. There were similar sessions that Jesus held in the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension. It tells us he went into Galilee and he talked to the disciples for those 40 days, telling them everything about himself from the prophets and from the law. If we'd have been there listening, if we got a tape of it, if we got a DVD of it and we put it on, I'm sorry, but that would not restore our sight. For Cleopas and his companion, it was great. It stirred their hearts, according to verse 32. Didn't our hearts burn within us? Some people have called this, of course, the Burning Heart Bible School. But it didn't restore their sight. Don't get lost, if that's the right word to use, weighed down, if you like, with the scripture and everything that's been taught about. I've got to be careful how I say this. But don't get embroiled in that and lose sight of Jesus. If Jesus had continued walking, if he had not gone in to stay with them, they would not have regained their sight. See, it was only after Jesus had used familiar words of blessing, familiar actions of breaking the bread, that their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus. So what are these familiar words? What are the familiar words that we need to hear this morning in order for our sight of Jesus to be restored? For many of us, perhaps this morning, it'll be the words that first brought us to Jesus. We can probably all remember what it was that somebody said or that we read or whatever else that actually first started us on that road that led us to Christ. For others, it may be the verse of scripture given to you at your baptismal service. I can still remember years and years ago exactly the verse that I was given. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Stops with you, doesn't it? But over and above all of those words, all of those verses, let me suggest to you that in fact it's actually the words of the blessing of the bread and the wine in the communion that actually bring you back to Jesus, that restore your sight. Listen to these words again and see Jesus. If it helps you, close your eyes, but listen to these words. Luke 22:19-20. He took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Can you see Jesus? Does he come home to you in those words, "This is my body, this is my blood"? It wasn't the walking along the road. Those disciples would have seen that for a long, long time. They would have followed him. They would have known his walk, if I can use that expression. We all walk, don't we, in different ways. They would have seen the back of him probably for many, many years, 3 years or more. It was the way he broke bread. Perhaps their minds went back to the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus, in a sense, did exactly the same thing. Everybody sat down in front of them. He took the bread. He blessed it. He gave thanks. He broke it. Perhaps it's a mannerism, if you like, that all of a sudden, this is Jesus. Perhaps as he broke the bread, they saw, on the Emmaus Road, they saw the nail marks in his hands. Do we see the nail marks in his hands when we break bread? So these familiar actions, see, I believe that both words and actions are necessary for us to regain our sight. We need to, if you can conjure this or just think this through, this picture. We need to sit across the table from Jesus and let him bless and break bread for us. What did we sing a few minutes ago? "This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me." If Jesus had continued walking that afternoon, if he had not gone in to stay with them, they would not have regained their sight. But because they did, they regained their sight, the hope that they had lost, and the certainty of a risen Saviour. Because Jesus went in, because Jesus blessed and broke the bread, they regained their sight. They regained the hope that they had lost. They gained the certainty of a risen Saviour. So then finally, how do we actually keep Jesus in sight? Christian life, you see, is not supposed to be a seesaw of losing, regaining, losing, regaining. May come as a bit of a surprise to some of us. That's not God's intention for our life. We're not supposed to go up in the mountains and down into the valleys. It's not that sort of life that he's called us to. What he's called us to is a constant walk, characterized, if you will, by having Jesus in sight at all times. Matthew 11, verses 2 to 5 say this, that when John heard in prison, we've talked about John earlier this morning, when John heard in prison that Christ had, what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. The words and the actions. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." John chapter 12 verse 45 reminds us that we see God when we see Jesus. When a man looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. So keep on this morning listening to those familiar words. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. "This is my body. This cup is the new covenant." Do we hear Jesus talking to us? John chapter 10 verses 3 to 5 tell us quite clearly that we have that privilege, we have that right. Jesus said, "A watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Familiar words. And Jesus talking to us. A familiar voice. Remember, in fact, that Jesus is the key to understanding the Old and the New Testament. Luke 24, 26 to 27, Jesus talked about the things concerning himself. To keep listening to those familiar words, keep on watching for those familiar actions. Remember the account of Peter walking on the lake. About 10 or 11 verses in Matthew chapter 14. We saw Jesus walking. All of the disciples saw Jesus walking on the lake out to the boat where they were rowing. And Peter, as always, opens his mouth and puts his foot in it. And quite simply says, "Lord, if it's you, let me come to you." So he got out of the boat and he walked on the water to Jesus. But verse 30 of that passage, in a sense, is quite a telling verse, I think. It says that when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Why did he see the wind? Because he took his eyes off Jesus. Passage says that he walking on the water, he started looking around. Jesus breaking the bread and pouring the wine, the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, leprosy cured, deaf hear, the dead raised, the good news is preached to the poor. Familiar words and familiar actions. But finally, let me just say this to you this morning. There has to be a desire on our part for us to see Jesus. There has to be a desire on our part to see Jesus. John chapter 12, verses 20 and 21 say these, but there were some Greeks among those who went up to to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Is this your desire this morning? Perhaps it's your desire this morning to see Jesus for the first time. Perhaps it's your desire this morning that in fact you wish to regain your sight of Jesus. To keep seeing Jesus. To have the sight of Jesus always before you. In a moment I'm going to pray. I'm going to use some words from the final hymn that we're going to sing. If these words are true for you this morning, then we would simply ask that you would pray these words and let Jesus be seen by you. Let's pray. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity. Lord, we would pray that that is our prayer this morning. That our eyes may be indeed open to the things that you want us to see. For Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing those words, or that the hymn that those words are taken from, just in closing this morning, and then we'll pray.